You know, there's a lot of churches that call their services off for Mother's Day, Father's Day, 4th of July. What's some more of them? They take banking holidays. But, you know, I'm glad that we are a church that meets, you know. We only call off services for homecoming that Sunday night and also for or anniversary, though. I'll call it homecoming. They don't come back, but anniversary and also for Easter. Give them time to be with their families. Let's take our Bibles and go to Revelation chapter 13. We're going to look at verses 11 through 18 tonight. We're going to be looking at the second beast, the final false prophet. The second beast, last week we looked at verses 1 through 10. The first beast, which was the Antichrist, who is going to assume world leadership for a brief period during the tribulation period. And tonight we're going to be looking at the second beast, the one who's going to help him in his rise to power. But first of all, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray tonight for the preaching of the word. We pray, Father, for my understanding of it. And I pray, Father, that for ears and hearts to be open to the truth and to receive the word of God and be doers of the word. And I do know that practical application is, for texts like this, is very hard to find, except for the fact that there are many antichrists and many false prophets, all leading up to the false prophet who is to come. Give us discerning spirit. May we know the Bible so that we can discern truth from error. And we pray for the two families, again, of the two young men that were killed this weekend, I assume, in car wrecks. And I pray for their families, their parents, their grandparents, their siblings. Lord, our heart goes out, and especially as we learn of some circumstances involved, it's sad, but choices have consequences, and Lord, it's just sad. And so we pray for them. We pray that they're saved, the families are saved, and that we pray that this will strengthen their faith, and I pray that they won't blame God and question where was God. But God is stable. He's sturdy. He's always on his throne. It's us who linger and us who make decisions that cause heartaches like this. And so, Father, we pray for that situation today. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus. All God's people said, amen. Okay, the second beast, the final false prophet, and beginning in verse 11. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And doth great wonders, so that he maketh fire to come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceive them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles. Now that's a key word there in verse 14. You might want to underline it. Deceive them that dwell upon the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life. That's another word I want you to underline, the word life. Unto the image of the beast. The image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And it caused all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive the mark in their right hand or on their foreheads. And that no man might buy or sell, save he had that mark, or had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of its name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of man, and that his number is 600, 666. Now, those that are alive at this time that missed the rapture are going to have a better understanding of what this mark of the beast is than we do, because they'll be in that period when it happens. Now, last week we shared five counterfeits about the first beast. We saw his counterfeit incarnation, his counterfeit resurrection, counterfeit worship, his counterfeit kingdom, and his counterfeit religion. And tonight we're going to look at the second person of the unholy Trinity, or the hellish Trinity, some people say. You know, heavenly Trinity, you have the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. Hellish Trinity, you have Satan, you have the Antichrist, and you have the false prophet. And they all try to mimic the heavenly Trinity. Some people call him the sinister minister. Anyway, he's going to be the leader of the harlot or apostate church that is left behind after the church is taken out. And he is going to assist the Antichrist in his dastardly deeds. And I want tonight to notice three characteristics of his ministry. If you see on the screen, his mission, his miracles, and his mark. Let's look first of all at his mission. In verse 11, he comes up out of the earth. Notice that. In chapter 13, verse 11. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. Now the Antichrist come up out of the sea. See, in the book of Revelation, it's talking about Gentile nations. So I believe he's a Gentile. He come up out of the nations. He's going to be a political leader. This man here came up out of the earth. And a lot of Bible interpreters believe he's talking about the area of Palestine. They believe he's going to be a Jew that's going to deceive Israel, thinking that he is the promised Messiah. And he caused the earth and them that dwell. Look in verse 11 again. And I beheld another beast. That word another beast means one of the same kind, just as hellish as the Antichrist. That word another is also used of the Holy Spirit. Remember when Jesus said, I'm going to send you another comforter, one of the same kind? And he's going to do the same things. Paraclete, Greek word. He's going to come alongside and encourage you. And that's what the word means here. It's another, means one of the same kind. It doesn't mean one of a different kind, like a different gospel in Galatians chapter 1. But he's one of the same kind, he says. And he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. He'll be a religious ruler who's going to assist the political ruler, the Antichrist, into power. And he, like the first beast, are going to be indwelt by a demon from the abyss. And he's called the false prophet. And we see that in that term in Revelation 19, verse 20. But anyway, he's Satan's counterfeit to the Holy Spirit. He's going to come and point people to Antichrist like the Holy Spirit points people to Jesus. And I can't reiterate this enough, that Satan never had an original thought in his life. He's a great counterfeiter. And he always tries to mimic. And going to be one of the same kind. But notice in verse 11, he's like a lamb, but he speaks like a dragon. He's going to come in deception. And this is the way false teachers are today. They look like lambs, but when you get to talking to them a little bit and look at their doctrine, you realize that they're of hell. They're not of God. And you've got to question them on certain things, and you'll find out what they believe or what they don't believe. But he's going to come, and he's going to be gentle. He's going to speak like a child of hell. He's going to be gentle, but he's going to speak like a child of hell. The horn suggests strength here in verse 11. Though less than the first beast, he's going to be a powerful a person, energized from hell, but allowed by God to do his dastardly ministry. And he imitates the Lamb of the God. So I believe, as many people do also, this is the false Messiah, the final false prophet is coming. All the teachers, all the false teachers, all the false prophets, all leading up to this one man who's going to be a culmination of everybody. Notice verse 12. He acts on behalf of the first beast. His aim is to point people to the first beast like the Holy Spirit does to Jesus. And when the Antichrist achieves world leadership, then we're going to read about this in Revelation 17, verse 16. He will destroy the second beast. It has no longer any need, right? And I hate to keep saying it, but that's the way politicians are. They'll use the church and they'll use the evangelicals till they get elected, and then they throw them by the wayside, right? And we're so gullible, we think they are the Messiah and the Savior, but they're not, right? There's only one, and that's Jesus. So there. A lot of people believe, again, who don't interpret Revelation in its literal, grammatical, historical sense, say this is all allegorical. It's speaking of an institution or a government, but it can't be, because later on we'll read in Revelation 19:20 that the false prophet and the Antichrist are both cast alive into the lake of fire. And you can't cast an institution or a government into the lake of fire. You go there individually. So this is an individual here. So we see his mission, to point people to the Antichrist. And then secondly, notice his miracles in verses 13 through 15. Notice one of the miracles is fire from heaven in verse 13. And he doth great wonders, so that he maketh fire to come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. Now, just as Jesus proved his messiahship, when the Messiah would come, the Old Testament said he's going to do miracles, and Jesus did that. And the religious leaders should have known that, and so they rejected him anyway because he was a threat to their power. So just to mimic that, this false prophet's going to come on the scene and apparently work miracles. Now, notice what it says again in verse 13. He said he's going to do great wonders so that he maketh fire to come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. Now, some people say he's going to mimic Elijah. Some people say he's going to mimic and imitate Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came down as cloven tongues lit on men. But I believe, looking at the context, and along with other people here, that what had just happened in verse 11, I think it was, this man is imitating the two witnesses. Remember when they sent down fire mimicking Elijah? But I believe he's mimicking the two witnesses. So he's an imitation of, he's Satan's imitation of the two witnesses, is what I believe. Now, what is the image of the beast that speaks? Notice verse 14 and 15. This will be about mid part of the tribulation period. You can read about it in Matthew 24:15, also Daniel 9:27, and 2 Thessalonians 2:4. When you pull from other scriptures, notice that he causes the world to build an image of himself, and it's going to cause it to speak. Look in verses 14 and 15. And deceive them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which they had power to do in the sight of the sea. So, you know, he deceived them by these miracles. And that word deceived there is important. It lets me know that there's a lot of things we give Satan credit for that he can't do, but it's just a barrage. It's just a deception. And he says here that to deceive them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth, and they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not to worship the image of the beast, they should be killed. In other words, they would worship the beast through the image, and if they didn't, they would be killed. Now, let's break this down a little bit here. He will order those on the earth to make an image of the first beast. Man is good about making images and idols and do it at a drop of a hat, right? And he's going to cause that to happen in verse 14. And this is about midway of the seven-year false peace pact. He's going to set himself up in the temple to be worshipped. And he's going to cause this image that he's built of himself, or had built of himself, to speak. Now, a question rises in the text here, in verses 14 and 15. Does Satan have the power to give or to take life? And I answer with all the authority of God's word, no. What power he has is given to him by God. Notice verse 15. He had the power to give life unto the image of the beast. Now, it's interesting that as you look at that word life, the word life there is the Greek word zoe, Z-O-E. It's not used here. That's not the word that's used here for life. It's the word used for pneuma, for breath. So he gives breath to this image of the beast to speak. And y'all know better than I do. A lot of y'all know about the shows you go to, the movies you go to, the special effects, the robots. They look like they're real. And they can make anything look real. So this is a deception. It's not real life. But it's a deception by robots and special effects, technology and all that kind of stuff, and it's going to look like it's real. It's, see, the Greek word used here is for breath, not life, okay? So we know it's a deception. That's crucial to the interpretation of the text. Now, what does he say? When he causes this image to speak, what does he say? Notice verse 15 again, and he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, or give breath to speak, to appear to speak. And the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many would not to worship the image of the beast should be killed. So what is he going to say? He's going to say, worship the beast or you're going to be killed. I mean, it's in the text, right? And so he's going to cause as many to worship the beast. In case y'all haven't found out yet, mankind is so gullible. They'll follow anybody, you know? And they follow all kind of false teachers, all kind of false Christ, and they don't care about doctrine or anything like that. They just, they're so easily swayed and so easily maneuvered and manipulated. And so he's going to work miracles. This all is a deception. He doesn't have this power. It's a deception. In fact, that's what the word says there. It's a deception. Now notice his mark in verses 16 to 18. A lot of misunderstanding today about the mark of the beast. Well, what does the Word of God say? Look in verses 16 to 18. And he caused all, both small and great, rich and poor, free, bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. Now, repeat it with me. Where is this mark? Forehead or what? Right hand. Okay, that's what the text says, doesn't it? Okay, now notice verse 17, and that no man might buy or sell save that he had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom, let him that have understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of man, of a man, and it is the number 666. If you're like me, when you go to a restaurant, even though we don't believe the mark is for the church age, when I'm checking out somewhere and they say $6.67, I say, can you make that $6.67? You know, I stay away from the 666. And I know that's superstitious and all that, but I even, in the church age, even though we're not going to be associated with it, I don't want to have any association with the number 666. So we see his mark. When do they receive the mark? Verse 16. Okay. Let's look at that. And he caused all, both small and great, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand and their foreheads. When? When this come about? About mid part of the tribulation period. That's the context. It's not a church age mark. It's not for the church age. It's not a day. Can I say that? Seventh-day Adventists say that we, as Christians, are worshiping, have taken the mark of the beast because we worship on Sunday. And not Saturday. So we've taken, it's not a day. It's a mark in your forehead or your hand, right hand, right? It's not a day. And I just don't understand their deception. So to be midway through the tribulation, but we see shadows of this leading up to this mark right now through technology and electronics. Things are going to be in place for the Antichrist, false prophet, to assume these things and is going to be work their dastardly stuff to that system. So when you scan a barcode, we do it innocently, but it's not a mark for us. But we scan that barcode, but guess what? Later on, there may be a barcode in the forehead or the right hand of people, and it's going to scan them. You know, there's all kinds. There's chips. There's everything. You know, they're developing all kind of things. I don't believe mankind is now saying, man, this is going to be great. We're going to usher in the mark of the beast. Technology is just growing, but Satan's going to use what technology later on to bring about this mark of the beast. So don't be afraid of taking the mark of the beast, okay? It's not for you. It's not for your a Christian. It's not for the church age. It is a tribulation sign. So don't worry about it now because it's not administered till midway through the tribulation period, and you'll be out of here. You'll be in heaven. And again, it's not a day, as Seventh-day Adventists would have us to say. You know, and wow, you know, I don't want to go there. But why do they receive the mark? Verse 17, he says, that no man might buy or sell. See, this is how he's going to get people to worship him. You can't buy food, you can't sell, you can't do commerce, you can't sell or buy anything. And so people are going to keep from starving to death, they're going to take the mark of the beast so that they're going to be able to function and live. But the Bible tells us very plainly that those whose names are in the Lamb's Book of Life will not take the mark of the beast. Okay? So he says that no man may buy or sell save he had the mark, the name of the beast, or the number of his name. And so he identifies his worshipers by this mark, and so they can conduct normal business. And this is Satan's way of separating his people from God's people. Now, God's people have the seal of the Holy Spirit, right? We have the indwelling Holy Spirit, Ephesians 1, 13 and 14, Ephesians 4, verse 30. That identifies us as a follower of Christ. But Satan seals his people. Again, he's a counterfeiter. He seals his own people with this mark, imitating and mimicking God and the things of God. So they receive the mark so they can be identified as followers of Satan. Now, what is the mark? Verse 18 again. Here's wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Now, is the counterfeit seal of Satan. It's that word mark there in the Greek means engrave or stamp. So it's going to be something engraved or stamped on the forehead or the right forehand, right? Is that what it says? And that's not a mark for us. We have the indwelling Holy Spirit within us, right? You can run around with all the Christian license plates you want to, all the little fish symbols, all the honk if you love Jesus, but the seal that you're a believer is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, right? By the way, I don't have none of that on my car because when I get mad on the road, I don't want nobody to see how I act, right? So I don't want to bring shame on Christ. You know, it'd be kind of bad to say honk if you love Jesus and you're up there honking at the guy that, I think that's one of the rudest things. If you're listening by internet, I think that's one of the rudest things to blow your horn, lay down on your horn for somebody in front of you that's 50 feet away that pulled out. I think that's rude, right? I know you're there. I didn't care. I pulled out in front of you, right? So why set that on your horn, right? I mean, I don't know it. Well, you can't literally set that on your horn and drive too, but this mark is going to be engraving or a stamp. Some say it's going to be a national ID number. There's people who say, well, we don't believe in a national ID number. Well, I don't care. If you're Christian, you're going to be gone anyway, okay? A barcode, a chip, a debit card. Man, I knew those things were bad, you know? A brand or a GPS, you know? They can track you on your GPS. And we were talking about, Ashley and Ethan, we were talking about how to get to y'all's wedding coming up. And Brother Marcus, somebody said, just put it in GPS. Half the guys didn't know what that was. So, but just follow the directions you've been given, okay? Yeah. All right, have it. What you need to do is take one half a day and drive up there. Make sure you find it, right? Right? All right. And then if you have any more problems, you can go with the bride and the bridegroom, okay? But you know, people get all worked up about this mark, but don't worry, it's not for us, because you can spend your time trying to figure it out. But when you do, you'll be in the tribulation. You'll be missed the rapture, right? Because it's not really revealed to them what it is, okay? So I don't want to find out what it is. That means I missed the rapture, right? So it's going to be on the right hand or the forehead, whatever. And then notice number 17. It indicates it's either the name of the beast or the number of his name. 666. The number of man, the text says. 666. 666, three times hellish trinity, 666. No matter how much Satan or the Antichrist or the false prophet try to be perfect, they'll never be a seven like our Lord is. They'll always fall short, and will always fall short. But man was created on the sixth day, and that's why we need to be saved. We'll always fall short of a seven, so we need the righteousness of Christ that died on the cross for us, right? Because we're always going to fall short of perfection. That's the number of man. Now, the Antichrist will always be nothing but a man. No matter how much he thinks he's got the worship of the world, he's just a man. And he'll always fall short. So again, my advice is don't worry about what it is. Spend that debit card, do that barcode, you know, do this, play this game, do whatever. It is not a church age mark. It is for the tribulation period. And I know somebody's going to misunderstand me today and walk out of here and say, our pastor told us to take the mark. No, I didn't say that, did I? I said, don't worry about, you know, doing all this stuff electronically. You haven't taken the mark. It's not going to be energized and revealed until the tribulation period. So, and again, if you said, I figured out the mark of the beast, well, you've been left behind. Okay? It's very simple. So Satan's minister is who this false prophet is. His mission is to cause the world to worship the Antichrist. His miracles are meant to counterfeit God, and the mark identifies his followers. And they are damned in eternity. Revelation 14:9, Revelation 19:20, and Revelation 20, verse 4. Now, Charles Ryrie says that both beasts are Antichrist in the sense that they are against Christ. But we refer to the political world leader as the Antichrist and the false prophet as the one that's going to head up the harlot church after we're taken out of here. And my heart grieves for America because America was founded on Christian principles, freedom of religion. And now look what it's, we're no longer America. If you don't go along with a Muslim senator, you're a bigot. You know, if you don't go along with a gay mayor that's trying to run for the Democratic convention, who would ever thunk we'd get to that point, right? Then you're intolerant. And as many people has been led into America, we no longer look like America. We do here, but over the rest of the world, Brother Rex Smith, he keeps up with all this, Rex Smith Sr., was telling me that in other places like California and all that, they're trying to arrest preachers that are preaching against Muslims, you know. But that'll never stand in the Supreme Court. If it does stand, we're gone. We're helpless. We're lost, you know. But why is all this happening? And y'all know my heart. I go back. Why wouldn't it happen to us? We kill babies by the millions, and we license homosexual marriage, and we sit there and scratch our head as Christians and wondering why these things are happening. Because God's judgment is upon a nation that has turned its back on God, right? How do we expect anything else? And I know that I haven't killed a baby, and y'all haven't killed a baby, but I'm telling you, God judges a nation by its institutions, and the institutions of our land have turned on God, just like Israel. Israel, there were a lot of good people in Israel, but the institutions had turned their back on God and were worshiping idols, right? And so that brought the judgment of God upon our nation. So my heart grieves for America. I mean, Brother John Miller used to talk about this a lot. And I don't want to see us go down this path, but it's a path that we're going because of our sin. But it just grieves my heart. But this man, we're not going to know who he is. We see a lot of false prophets and a lot of antichrist. We can identify them, but we can't identify the head honcho because we won't be here. We'll identify him from heaven maybe, but we won't be here. So this is going to be bad. Now next week we're going to look at, in chapter 14, we're going to be introduced again to the 144,000. We saw them before sealed in Revelation 7. and for proclaiming the gospel. But now we'll see them in chapter 14 where they're unsealed. God's through with them, and they're martyred and taken to heaven. And we're going to look at some of that next week as we begin to look at martyrs in general, okay? No invitation tonight. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. Thank you that we can understand these things. Thank you that we can be blessed by the book of Revelation. We can know prophecy is, it always points us to Jesus Christ. And so, Father, I pray that we won't shy away from it. We won't be afraid of it, because we know who we are. We know where we're headed. And, Lord, we know what's going to happen to this world without God. So tonight, Father, I just pray for us that we'll be strong, we'll be holy, we'll be doctrinally sound, we'll occupy till you come, and we will make a difference wherever you placed us. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be dismissed.